This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about a subject of great importance. One of our most distinguished guests is revisiting us. I think the last time we talked to her was about 3 years ago. She's Dr. Terry Walls. She's known to many of you as the originator of the Walls Protocol for multiple sclerosis and autoimmune disorders. And it's time to revisit with her because she's got a brand new book. It's called The Walls Protocol, Cooking for Life, the Revolutionary Modern Paleo Plan to Treat All Chronic Autoimmune Conditions. Dr. Walls is a medical doctor. She's a clinical professor of medicine at the University of Iowa, Carver College of Medicine, Iowa City. And she has personal experience as a sufferer of multiple sclerosis. She'll tell her story momentarily. She's currently conducting research on the use of diet and lifestyle interventions in autoimmune and other chronic disease states. So real clinical studies that will substantiate the efficacy of this lifestyle program for turning things around for the literally tens of millions of Americans who suffer from one form or another of autoimmunity. And it's exciting that she's recently received the support of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. What an unprecedented success, because the MS Society in the past has been rather a hidebound organization when it comes to dietary strategies and, shall we say, alternative medicine strategies. But here she is providing good clinical science that backs up these extraordinary claims. So without further ado, here's Dr. Walls. It's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. So, first of all, who's this cookbook for? People might have a misapprehension about it because they may say, well, you know, I don't have MS. I don't have a serious autoimmune disorder like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis. So, no, this isn't for me. But that's not your intent, is it?
No, my intent is to help everyone create more health in their lives. And my goal is to create an epidemic of good health. And to do that, we have to teach people to begin cooking at home. So this is to help people get more comfortable with cooking at home. Certainly folks with autoimmune, neurological issues, mental health issues will benefit. But we've had athletes benefit. We've had healthy people discover that their energy and vitality improved even further by learning how to cook at home.
Indeed. Well, okay, so for those of our listeners who are not familiar with your extraordinary personal story, share it with us, because you were practicing physician, an academic physician, and, you know, working in a major hospital. You weren't an integrative doctor. You were doing mainstream medicine, and then you were hit with a medical challenge.
Oh, yeah. You know, at the time, I was a traditional conventional doc, very skeptical of using vitamins, supplements, special diets to recover health. But God works in mysterious ways. You know, in 2000, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I decided to treat my disease aggressively, sought out the best centers here at the university and at the Cleveland Clinic, took the newest drugs, and experienced, despite that, 7 years of relentless decline, despite taking chemotherapy, the disease-modifying drugs, even Tizabri.
But potentially dangerous drug. Very, very powerful drug.
Oh, yeah.
With, bad side effects.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
But I continued to go downhill. And so as I hit, you know, got in the wheelchair, I started reading the science and would ultimately begin experimenting with vitamins and supplements. I discovered the ancestral health movement, adopted the paleo diet. I discovered the Institute for Functional Medicine and took their course on neuroprotection. And then would synthesize all of this into a protocol that would ultimately become the Walls Protocol. Now, at the time that I started this really intensive program, I was so weak I could not sit up in a regular chair. It was a struggle to walk 10 feet. I had severe fatigue. I had was beginning to have brain fog. And I had severe MS pain that was very resistant to control. I start this intensive program, and within 3 months, my fatigue is markedly reduced. My mental clarity is clearly improving. I'm beginning to walk with a cane. At 6 months, I can walk without a cane. At 9 months, I get on my bike and bike around the block for the first time in about 6 years. You know, I'm crying. My kids are crying. My wife is crying. And this is when hope comes back into my life, because I had accepted what my physicians had been telling me for years, that with progressive MS, functions once lost were gone forever. And so I realized that, you know, my physicians didn't know. The understanding of progressive MS was probably wrong. I began to wonder how much recovery I might be able to experience. Clearly, my understanding of disease and health was transformed. The chief of medicine calls me in and gives me the assignment of writing up a clinical case report, which we do. And when that is done, he calls me back and says, okay, I want you to change the focus of your research program and begin studying, see if we can replicate this in a safety study. So I refocus my research, and we do that. And so I've changed my clinical practice. I've changed the focus of my research. And I make this big decision that I should tell the public at the same time that I'm doing my research. So I begin teaching the public. I begin writing articles, having social media presence, and I write a laybook for the public back in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Which we interviewed you on. And since then, there's been a surge of interest in the Walls Protocol. It's become a big brand. You've very successfully moved this into the popular realm and made it very accessible via social media and a wonderful website and programs by which people can participate. They don't need to go to a high-priced integrated practitioner necessarily to get the rudiments of this.
Correct. I mean, the goal really is to help people understand that, you know, if I can come back from such a devastating level of disability to, you know, where I can go out and bike 20 miles, you know, I'm writing grants, writing research, writing books, traveling the world, that they too could come back from their severe illness as well. And I think I've been very successful at letting the public know that. So we have thousands of followers who report their very remarkable healing stories as well.
So what is an autoimmune disease, and how commonplace are they? What's the scope of this problem?
So this is a condition where the immune cells of the body begin attacking other parts of yourself. We know that 25 million people have a definitive diagnosis that's autoimmune in nature. Another 50 million have pain, fatigue. They have probably mental health issues, and they have autoantibodies, but not quite enough damage to make a specific diagnosis yet. Mm-hmm. So in all told, there's 75 million people who are in this process of the immune cells destroying their body and destroying their health and destroying their brain.
So you don't necessarily have to hit the jackpot with a big league diagnosis like MS or lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, scleroderma. There, what you're saying is maybe those well-defined disease designations are sort of the tip of the iceberg of a phenomenon that is very common, and that people may have milder symptoms, bothersome symptoms, bodily aches and pains, fatigue, lethargy, depression, etc.
And, you know, and they've been suffering for a long time. Their physicians can't figure out what's really going on. There's not enough abnormal lab test yet, but the person is clearly suffering. So those folks who have a lot of symptoms without a clear diagnosis, we've had great success helping them get rid of their pain, improve their energy, improve their mood, as well as the people who've had enough damage that they've had scleroderma, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and of course multiple sclerosis.
Indeed. Okay, well, how does this square with what was once a popular paradigm for MS? And I think you know what I'm referring to. It's the Swank diet.
Oh.
Roy Swank, who formulated this, in the 50s, I think, and did extensive research.
It was brilliant work.
Yeah, and he said it was an ultra-low-fat diet, but your diet is not an ultra-low-fat diet.
No, but he did do some things that I think were probably very wise. He gave everyone cod liver oil.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gave them more omega-3 fat for their brain. He gave them vitamin A, vitamin D. And by putting them on a very low-fat diet, he changed the ratios of omega-3 to omega-6 fat. And he also got them off the trans fats. All those things are really, really good help. Now, and we're testing the theory, is my diet superior? Because we have more fat, more building blocks for that myelin repair. And then we provide more building blocks for some of the other brain structures that brain cells need. So, you know, that's the theory. We'll test that out. There are studies showing that the Swank diet has been helpful. I have studies showing that my diet's been helpful. And the MS community really wants to know, prospective study, how much help are they at reducing fatigue? And is one of these two diets better than the other, the Swank or the Walls?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be able to answer that with our study.
Great. Okay, well, good point at which to tell us about your current clinical trial. What does that involve?
So this is really very exciting. We're bringing people in with MS and fatigue. We observe them for 12 weeks eating the standard American diet. Then we randomize them into two groups. One group will be trained on the Swank diet. The other group will be trained on the Walls diet. Mm-hmm. And we'll follow them again for another 12 weeks, bring them back for another visit, and then another 12 weeks after that. The way we designed it is we can test, is the Swank diet helpful at reducing fatigue? Is the Walls diet helpful at reducing fatigue? And then we'll be able to compare, is one of these two diets superior to the others or not?
Mm-hmm.
And we chose two diets that we know they had favorable research so we could make it easier to recruit subjects.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, there's not necessarily a control group. The control group is, I mean, it's a comparison of two diets.
Correct.
In effect, the Swank diet
it's
is sort of the control group.
Yeah.
So correct. There's an intervention. I mean, and it'd be hard to say, placebo
right.
What do you eat? I mean, like maybe Mediterranean diet. Often studies are done with the Mediterranean diet.
In one sense, we're controlling because everyone is in an observation period.
Yes.
So everybody has to be observed for 12 weeks. So everyone is their own control. That is a powerful study design. But it also, because we're comparing the two then, we can compare how effective the Swank and how effective the Walls is against each other. And I think that'll be really very interesting to see.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to the paleo diet, there's a lot of misconceptions. I think it was U.S. News and World Reports that rated the diets, and I think they, among 30 diets, they rated the paleo diet number 30. And I think it's due to a misconception that the paleo diet is, you remember the Flintstones? You know, when Fred Flintstone put a brontosaur steak on the Barbie and fired it up, and a lot of people think it's just abundant meat and abundant fat. And while that is a constituent of the diet and permitted, that isn't necessarily so.
You know, for some paleo eaters, that is how they do that. They heard take out grain, but they didn't hear anything about the vegetables. I provide a much more specific guidance that my version is lots of vegetables and some meat. And the other thing that I did, which is unique, is in our diet plans, all three plans, we created a menu recipes and analyzed it nutritionally to show people what are the nutrients you get in following the Walls diet. And we verified that the 36 nutrients that I say your brain cells need, we provide them in great abundance. Mm-hmm. And there really are no other diet authors that are researchers that have done that step to show people, if you follow my diet, this is what you can expect nutritionally to get from the diet.
Now, there are various iterations and versions of the paleo diet. Some people say no legumes whatsoever. Other people say, okay, certain legumes. Some people say nightshades are okay, nightshades not okay. What are some of the characteristics of your specific version of the paleo diet?
Of what I've done is I've taken the public health version. I want people to sort of ease into eating this way, so to make it easy for people to begin that journey. So level one, I take out gluten, dairy proteins, and eggs, because those are the most inflammatory foods,
mm-hmm.
and I ramp up the vegetables. I give people guidance if they're a vegetarian or vegan, so we can include our vegetarian and vegan friends, and we give people guidance if they're meat eaters. Then at the second level, now you're going to have to eat meat.
That may be for somebody zealous or for somebody with a little more challenging health condition, right?
Correct. So we have them eat meat. We talk about organ meat. We talk about seaweed. If you're going to eat nuts, we have you soak them and sprout them. If you're going to eat gluten-free grains or legumes, again, we have you soak and sprout them. And we limit it to just 2 servings a week of either grain or legume. We add fermented foods. And many people do just fabulous on that level.
Mm-hmm.
The third level is the ketogenic version, so higher in fat, lower in meat and vegetables again, so people can be in ketosis. And then I do talk about what I call the Walls elimination diet, which does eliminate nightshades
mm-hmm.
and eliminates grains and legumes entirely. And those are for people who either did not get the results they were hoping for or have a autoimmune condition that affects their joints. And so people like rheumatoid arthritis, we would put on that elimination diet.
Mm-hmm. And in level three, there's also an element of what's called CR or caloric restriction, which seems to do kind of a reboot on the immune system. I notice you have people eating a couple of meals a day and, prolonged time where you're not eating, giving your GI tract and
correct.
Your metabolism a rest.
You know, and as people ease into this, I explain that I'll eat just one meal a day, so I'll go 24 hours between meals, and occasionally I'll go 2 days without eating. And that's something that people have to ease into. You can't do that immediately. It may take several years before you're comfortable enough to do this longer fasting period.
Mm-hmm. And why the emphasis on organ meats? You know, a lot of Americans don't do well with organ meats. I mean, they're popular in Europe.
Yeah.
In Spain, I got, riñones, aljarez, kidneys, and, you know, they eat liver. In France, they used to eat brains, kind of yucky, but not popular here. But apparently, feel they offer something special.
Yeah, they certainly do. Before food got industrialized, when you harvested an animal, about a third of the carcass would qualify as organ meat. And I assure you, our ancestors never wasted anything.
Mm-hmm.
We consumed all of that. And we now know that, for example, bones, if you make bone broth, you get a lot more glycine and proline, which are very important structures that we don't get if we eat muscle meat. If you are eating a lot of liver, you have a much higher intake of coenzyme Q, which is really great for our brain, heart, and retina. You'll have more B vitamins, the water-soluble vitamins. You'll have more fat-soluble vitamins, like vitamin A, K, and D. So you get a different nutrient profile from that organ meat that is really, really good for our brain and our retina, and our liver, and our heart.
Mm-hmm. Muscle meat is actually, people think it's the ultimate protein, but actually it's a little bit of a less complete, balanced amino acid blend,
yeah.
And there's some more things that are lacking in muscle meat when you get organs, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, our ancestors would have, if we had lots of meat around, they would have left the muscle meat behind and kept the organ meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the organ meat was much more important to them.
Interesting, almost instinctively. And, you know, bone marrow has special characteristics. And you emphasize broths, various types of broths, as being helpful.
Broths are incredibly helpful. Many of us will have a leaky gut, irritated gut lining, because of that sugar, high sugar, high white flour diet, overgrowth of yeast, unrecognized food sensitivities. To help heal that, I have people make a lot of bone broth. That bone broth has a lot of collagen, gelatin in it. It will have a lot of glutamine. And these are very healing compounds to help restore the lining of the gut. So that's a great step one food. And it's a great food for maintaining the collagen, which is sort of the building structure for all of the proteins in our body. It's great for anti-aging, great for keeping young, healthy skin. And because bone broth has a lot of glycine and proline, it helps protect against the it gives you anti-aging. If you eat lots of protein, you have too much mammalian-targeted rapamycin from all the methionine. But if you have a lot of collagen and bone broth, that balances that out and balances out the mTOR, which actually decreases the aging effect and lowers the risk of tumors in response to that.
Hmm, interesting. And then seaweed is a constituent of the diet as well, not something that most Americans eat a lot. Japanese eat a lot of it. It was when I was on a macrobiotic diet, we ate a lot of that. What's in seaweed that's beneficial?
So seaweed gives us a lot more of our minerals, particularly iodine, selenium, and the trace minerals. Minerals are a key cofactor in our biochemical reactions, particularly involving vitamins. And our minerals are depleted in many of our foods because of our current farming practices. And many Americans have diets that are inadequate in iodine, selenium, zinc, copper, manganese. So having more seaweed helps replenish our mineral stores.
Okay. Well, great. This is a good introduction to the Walls Protocol, Cooking for Life, your new book, The Revolutionary Modern Paleo Plan to Treat All Chronic Autoimmune Conditions. Our listeners know we divide these podcasts into two parts, so we'll pause briefly. And when we return, we're going to do a deeper dive on what it entails to reverse multiple sclerosis and other autoimmune conditions. And we'll get into some particulars about some of the food constituents, what's for dessert, what do you have for breakfast, what are some of the supplements that can make a difference for people suffering from autoimmunity, with today's guest, Dr. Terry Walls. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.